I'm going to be honest with you, and I know that's one of my cliches. I say that all the time. I hope you know I'm being honest. It's just a habit you get into. I also have told that the buttons on my jackets, they're pretty wore out. And I wonder why those things are wore out all the time. It says, well, honey, you're constantly buttoning it and unbuttoning it and buttoning it and unbuttoning it and buttoning it and unbuttoning it while you're preaching. I have no idea I'm doing it. And I have no idea why I say, and I'm going to be honest about it because I hope y'all know I'm going to be honest about it. I wrote a message out for tonight. I've planned on preaching this message all month. All month. That's what my plans were, but I normally don't do this. But the Lord and press said, if you preach that tonight, that's not the message I have. I don't even have an outline tonight. But I want to share something with you out of the book of Ephesians. And I thought, how could we close out Home Improvement Month? I think we need to talk to men tonight. Husbands tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would begin reading with me with verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And I want you to notice this next phrase. And He is the Savior of the body. Speaking of Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men, here's that again, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight You'll help us, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think tonight as we close out the Home Improvement Month, as far as you know, and you know as well as I do, I'll preach somewhere along the year on families, relationships, something. But to close out this emphasis this month, and of course we'll completely close it out, I guess, after our marriage retreat, I want to talk to men tonight. I want us to just let the Word of God speak to us. I want you to notice verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Before I get there, because that's going to be the text tonight, but I want you to notice something, and I'm going to be honest with you. It's not been a long time since I've noticed this, because you know as well as I do, I'm not a big grammar guy. But I want you to notice verse 18 through verse 21, and I want you to notice the punctuation with me. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's that piece of punctuation there? Semicolon. So that does not mean that that ends the sentence. The sentence continues. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And again, there's a semicolon. So the sentence is not completed yet. Speaking to yourselves and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm just going to be transparent. Bless his heart, that's Brother Charlie Nicholson. So, I know Brother Jim's out in the foyer, and I know this is a little different, but maybe we could get Jim to call and check on Charlie. Brother Jim, would you call and check on Charlie Nicholson? He come to the door, Miss Charity. And I'll be honest with you, church. Brother Charlie's struggling a little bit, not only with his health, but Brother Charlie's struggling a little bit with his mental capacities. And so I want you to be praying for him. That's why he probably didn't even realize what time it was tonight. The Bible says there's a semicolon. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Semicolon, so the sentence continues. Giving thanks always for all things in the God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, semicolon, the sentence continues. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Period. Sentence concludes. Now, as you look at that, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We understand this is talking about someone not to be drunk with wine. We understand when someone's inebriated, they are under the control of the substance of alcohol. The Bible tells us not to be inebriated, not to be drunk with wine or alcohol, to be controlled by that substance. But the Bible does tell us in the same way that we should be filled with the Spirit of God, completely under control of Him. And the Bible does not stop there. That is a continue to be a sentence. So to be filled with the Spirit, if you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible says how you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. Knowing that you're filled with the Spirit of God, then you're going to be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's part of being filled with the Spirit of God. Was it not? Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, the Bible said they began to break out in song. Some powerful things took place that night. No doubt the Lord moved in a very special way, but we see speaking to yourselves. So to be filled with the Spirit, this must be a principle involved with that. Then look at verse 20, because it's still, that sentence is not completed. We see here the Bible says, speaking to yourselves, so there should be singing, melody in your heart, but then you're going to be giving thanks always for all things. That also is a sign of you being filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to be thankful. Giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord. And then I want you to notice, this is an amazing thing, the Lord ties being filled with the Spirit of God. One of the principles that you're being filled with the Spirit of God is a family issue. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Isn't that powerful? Submitting to one another. Submitting to one another. A husband and a wife are submitting one to another. That is a beautiful thing. That right there, that's God's way. And I'm going to be honest with you. When that takes place and that's being done, that is a beautiful thing to behold. Because when that husband and wife is submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, the function of that home is almost flawless. You know why? Because no one's jockeying for position. No one's trying to up the other. No one's trying to be more in control than the other one. They're both submitting to one another. And they both have power. They both have authority. I've said this many times. When my wife and I first got married, we were raised differently. She was raised a certain way. I was raised a certain way. And there were a lot of similarities, but there were a lot of things that were different. And a lot of that was just in semantics of things. We were both raised in a home where we went to church. We knew the Lord. Our parents knew the Lord. My home was a home, and both homes loved. But my home was a little bit more of a freer type environment. And what I mean by that is there was mom and dad had rules and regulations and standards for us and boundaries for us. But we were a house known for love. And if people would have said, oh, I'll tell you, that's a loving family. You heard mom and dad. We all said that often. We said we love each other a lot. We had a lot of communication. But as far as maybe a discipline, like a drill instructor type home, and really, you know, I'm just going to be honest with this. My mother, I'm just going to be honest, she laid my clothes out about every day. So as far as me, and you know, I'm going to be honest, my mom did so much for me and did so much for me, and she did. I'll be honest, when my wife got me, she's like, honey, what can you do? I'm like, well, I've never had to do it. Mom's always done it. So moms, listen to me. And I listen here, I love my mother, and we've talked many times. But look, I want to help you. Don't do that. What I mean by that is, you know, your son, your children, your daughter, they need to learn to do things for themselves. Now, as a child, I loved it, my mom. My sister, they bought all my clothes. I hated going shopping. I never went. If they brought clothes home, I just wore them. They kept me in them designer jeans. I got more compliments at school wearing them Bugle Boy and Levi jeans, and I didn't care what they were. My sister and my mother bought them for me, and I just put them on. But I say, my home was different, but I knew we were loved. Now, in Laura's home, they were a little bit more rigid. Her mother and father loved her, but they were a little more rigid. You didn't hear the word, I love you, as much. And there was just a little bit more rigidness there, but I'll tell you what there was discipline there. So when Laura and I got to marry, look at me, it was like two worlds colliding. I mean, it was like two totally different, a revolution took place in that house. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, we argued about it for a long time. It was a struggle for us because I wanted to do it my way, she wanted to do it her way. But you know what, I bring all that to say this. We got to a place where we realized, you know what, just because you were raised that way doesn't mean it's bad. And just because I was raised this way wasn't bad. But why don't we take the best of both worlds, learn from the blessings from our parents, and then the things that we can do better than that we learn some weaknesses in our homes. How about we put that together and try to make ours as foolproof as possible? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So instead of fighting about it all the time, we came to a place of where we had to submit to one another. Just because her family, by the way, I grew up in a house where if you didn't have it at the house, you went to Save a Lot or Kroger every day, and you went two or three times a day. Kim, can I get a witness? I mean, I just lived in a house that I thought you went to the grocery store two or three times a day. But when I married Laura, she's like, no, honey, we're going to go once a week. I said, once a week? Once a week? I mean, good night, once a week. We're going to go. Yes, she said, yes, honey, we're going to go once a week. And so, look, that's just the way we did it. But that was foreign to me. I thought when you wanted to cook something, you had to go to the store. You didn't have it, so you had to go get it. Does anybody else live like that? Wow, Kim, you and I were strange. We kind of shot off the hip the way I was raised. We just shot off the hip about stuff. Brother Chris, we just winged stuff. Some stuff we just winged. We just wung it. And you know, look here. Laura did not understand that concept, nor did she like it. So we fought about it for a long time, and you know what? It was frivolous to fight about. Why don't we just take the things and make them better? Make them ours. What works for us. And you know what that takes? That takes submission. But when you submit to one another, that's a beautiful thing. My wife has just as much power as I have. I don't make a move unless I talk to her. You say, why? Because you're afraid to? No, I'm not afraid not to, and I'm not afraid to. That's just how much confidence we've had realizing that we're in this thing together, and we committed a long time ago we're going to submit to one another. Now, my old flesh raises up, and I'm sure her flesh raises up at times, and we just simply don't want to submit to one another. But listen to me, that's God's way. And if people will line up with that, it is beautiful. You can go to bed at night, you're not in a tizzy, you're not arguing, you're not fighting, you're not trying to jockey for position, you're not trying to get your way, and she's not trying to get her way. You're submitting to one another, and you can go to sleep at night with peace and rest because you're doing it in the fear of the Lord. And it's just a beautiful thing for function. Now, I want you to quickly turn to 1 Peter, and we're going to go back to that text. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to speak to the husbands just a minute, the men just a minute. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 7. This is a well-known verse, but I want to explain something there. And God's really helped me with this, to explain this phrase. Because I think men need to know this. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, I want you to notice this, as unto the weaker vessel. Now, I want every lady to listen to me just a moment. That does not mean that you're weaker because you are not as valuable as the man. It's not what that means. The Bible says, giving honor to the weaker vessel, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, I want you to notice the last promise there, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, would you gentlemen, as we just heard that song sung, a wall of prayer, could you imagine being a man and God not talking to you? How many of you would like to go to bed every night and say, oh, I've got prayers and I want to call out to the Lord, and you pray and He don't listen? What would a man have to do for God not to hear you and not to talk to you? The Bible says not treat your wife as a weaker vessel and live with her according to knowledge as a weaker vessel. Can I explain it this way? Because this is what this word weaker vessel means. You do understand what fine china is. And how many of you would need to be explained what a bull in a china closet is? Does anybody know what a bull in a china closet would do to a china in the closet? Do you know who the bull is in that china closet most of the time? Men. And you're trying to treat your wife like a bull in a china closet, and you're not being tender, and you're not being delicate, and you're not dealing with a woman there that God has said she's like fine china tenderness. Now, by the way, gentlemen, every man needs to be a man. But when it comes to your wife, you need to lead looking at her and dealing with her as she is a delicate, precious gift that God has given you. She's delicate. The Bible says she's the weaker vessel because she's more delicate. And so a lot of times relationships are just faltering because the man just doesn't have any desire to treat her as a piece of china. I've said to men, you can talk to me like that. You can say that to me like that. You can even look at me like that. And as a man, that doesn't bother me. When you try to talk or look or treat or bully your wife, you're going against what Christ said how to treat her. She's the weaker vessel. That does not mean she's not strong. That does not mean that she's not capable. And by the way, I'm going to say to you, if you have a wife that's very tough, and by the way, this is where I struggle because a lot of times I know Laura's a tough woman and I take that for granted. But the Lord has to help me to realize that even though she's tough, she's still a woman and she's delicate. So gentlemen, I think there's a lot of problems in relationships today just because we're not understanding what, that's not my advice, that's God's advice. He made her. He made your wife. And when He says that you're to treat her as giving honor to the weaker vessel, that means exactly what He's saying. He's not mincing words. Now, if you say, I'm going to break that pattern and my wife's going to get over it, look at me. She's not. You hear me? Because that has nothing to do with your wife. That has everything to do with what God has said. And then I'm going to say this. If you continue, we continue to not obey this command in God's word as a man to treat our wife as a weaker vessel, like a delicate piece of fine china that she is. God says you need to just stop, quit praying. Because he ain't listening to you. And gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with y'all. We live in a day where we need some men to be men of God that God's hearing and answering their prayers. When we come here to these prayer breakfasts, I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to reach the throne. The day in which we live in, when there are so much things going on that I cannot change, you cannot change, we're under such a duress here in America with different things, dealing with things we have no control over, we need men that understand this principle that we can get a hold of God and we can go to before Him and our prayers are not hindered. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really believe the way I treat my wife has anything to do with that. God says it does. Let's take it serious. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to close. I want to give you three things. Here's the thought. We look in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the body. So he's good. Amen. Brother Charlie's good. So the Bible says here, for the husband is the head of the wife, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now I want you to think about that a minute. He's the Savior of the body. I want to just give you a thought here. How can you be a Savior to your wife? As Christ loved the church, you are to love your wife as Christ. He was the Savior. You ought to be the Savior of your wife. And what I mean by that is, again, I'm not being anti-Christ, not anti-God here at all, but the Bible says, as Christ, you should be as Christ. So what does that look like when God says, and as Christ loved the church, you ought to love your wife? Can I just say quickly, these are three simple things. Gentlemen, you got to love your wife unconditionally. Now listen, as I preach this, I'm going to be honest with you, it's going against some of the very being of me standing here. What I mean by that is, there's a lot of relationships that could be saved if the husband would love her back. Love her back to life. There's a good friend of mine, pastor's not far from here, and his theme of his church is loving people to life. Love your wife unconditionally. You say, Pastor, what's that mean? Exactly what that word means. Unconditionally. You know, it's hard to love somebody when you don't get anything back. It's hard to love when all you get back is hurt. But you're to love unconditionally. I think, I will not use their names, say that. I don't really know their names, so I'm safe. I know the preacher's name, but I'm going to leave all that alone. But I'll never forget, a preacher was talking to me one day. He said, there's a young man, he liked my wife, he loved my daughter. He wanted to date my daughter, he loved my daughter. He was just infatuated with my daughter, but he said there was a problem. My daughter had absolutely no interest in him. None. And so this man kept coming to the father and saying, look, I love your daughter. He said, well, buddy, I'm sorry, she doesn't have any interest in you. He said, I know, but he said, I love her so much. He said, I want to love her. I want to love her to where I can make her love me back. Here's what he said to this husband. I've never heard this in my life. To this daddy, he said, how can I do that? And this young man labored for years without anything back. He loved this woman. And that woman knew it. And you know what? In time, she fell in love with him. She chose to love him. They're in the ministry. He pastors a church. And as a little footnote, I asked the dad, we were on a mission trip together, I asked the dad, I said, well, what happened? He said, he loved her so much, it made her love him back. She just couldn't get past that love. And she said to her daddy one day, she said, "Daddy, I treated that man horrible." She said, "Anybody in their right mind would have stopped loving me year before I ever said yes to him." But she said, "I knew because he loved me unconditionally, that won me over." Love your wife unconditionally. What's that mean, unconditionally? No conditions have to be met. Why? As Christ loved the church. You know how much he loves me? Unconditionally. Do you believe this tonight? There's nothing I can do or say that's going to make him love me any less. As Christ loved the church. I want to confess to my wife openly, "Honey, I have failed many times not loving you like I should." We ought to love unconditionally. Would you just write it down? I'll turn there and I'll read it. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Now, I want every lady to hear me and hear me well. This is not romantic. But sometimes love's not romantic. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, the Bible says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set," I want you to hear me, "the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers." Kept the oath. Sometimes love unconditional is you've got to break that thing down to the very bare minimum. And the only reason you can love at that moment is because you promised each other. Marriage is not always romance. Marriage is not always hunky-dory. Marriage is not always walking through the tulips. But you love your spouse unconditionally as Christ loved the church. Love your wife unconditionally. Look at me. Keep your oath. You know, there are so many people, they love winning arguments. And they are so set on winning an argument, they're willing to lose a relationship. Write it down. Quit being so worried about winning an argument, because what does that argument mean by winning it when you lose your relationship? Love unconditionally. Number two, just quickly, simply, love her permanently. As Christ loved the church. Love her permanently. No end. No end. It's permanent. Permanent. What was it? I'll throw a little bit of laughter in right here. I even feel like I'm too serious myself. Pastor Altizer, Miss Altizer, we love the Altizers. I was blessed. I didn't think I was blessed for 7.5 years to work with him. And the reason I say that is, you know, I told Pastor all the time, I said, "You're like a bull in a china closet." I told Preacher that all the time. Y'all can laugh. I'd go out to eat, and Brother Mike, you know what I'm talking about. I'd go out to eat with him and Mike Wisman. I love both of those men. They're just old-timey, old-fashioned preachers, Brother Larry. But we get in that car, and I used to tell Mike Wisman and Preacher, I said, "Y'all are like two old bulls in this car." But I love him. And I'll never forget it, you know. he always had these little sayings, and he would say, well, he said, My wife come up to me one day and said, "Honey, you gonna love me when my hair turns gray?" He said, "Honey, I've loved you for through 30 different hair color changes. I'll love you when it goes gray." And by the way, you know, I married a brunette, but I've loved a brunette with highlights in her hair. I married a brunette with longer hair, but I've loved her even when it's been short. And Miss Sexton, we went up to talk with Miss Sexton the other day, and we were talking to her, and she grabbed Laura by the shoulder and just kind of pulled her up, and she said, "Mark, Laura is just beautiful." I said, "You better believe it inside and out." I believe that. And she's 46. I think she's as beautiful today as she's ever been. I tell her all the time, "You're more beautiful today than the day I met you." Hey, I love her unconditionally. You know, women are always so insecure about their appearance. Gentlemen, love them all the time. Listen here now. Y'all listen to me. I'll help you. I know all of y'all are smart enough to know this. But there ain't a bad outfit. No, that looks wonderful. You like my hair? Love it. But I've told my wife this. "Look, I don't even care if I do love your hair. I'm still going to love you." Permanently. It's permanent for me. I mean, I'm going to dance with the one that brought me. And now look, you say, "That is so simple." Simple but powerful. We live in a day where, honestly now, I'm telling you, we live in a day where people are trying out relationships like going and testing a car out to buy one at the shop. I'm serious. This is what this younger generation, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying a lot of this younger generation, they say, "Well, if it don't work, no big deal." No, no, no. God's love is permanent. Love her permanently, even if she gets a perm. I don't guess anybody gets perms anymore, do they? Some? I know, you know, perms. I told Laura the other day, I have to say quickly, you know, in the 80s, women used to tease their hair. And maybe people still do it. I love teased hair. But I remember watching women in the 80s, man. I mean, they'd tease that hair. And I mean, it went from here to here. And I will be honest, I looked at my wife, and I know this is awful, but the other night, up here at this marriage retreat, I'm going to be honest, we were sitting there, and I just had to look, and I said, "Honey," I said, "that takes me back." I looked at a particular woman, and she was a wonderful lady, but her hair, I said, she still teases her hair. Here's what I said. I said, "That reminds me of the 80s. And then Laura looked at me and she said, "Honey, I have 80s hair." I said, "Honey, you don't have 80s hair." But let me just say, if she has 80s hair and she teases her hair, I'm going to love her. But I'll be honest, y'all laugh, but I've seen people break a relationship for less than that. Then quickly, lastly, you got to love her sacrificially as Christ loved the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Here's what I want to stop at. And gave himself for it. He sacrificially loved us so much in the church that he sacrificed himself for us. You say, "Pastor, how can I do that? How can I sacrificially love my wife?" Do you know what life is? Do you know what sacrifice in your life means? What's life made up of? Time. A lifetime is made up of years. Years is made up of months. Months is made up of weeks. Weeks is made up of days. Days are made up with hours. Hours is made up with minutes. Minutes is made up of seconds. As I give my life and love her for my life and give her my life, my time, that's my life. I sacrificially give my time, my life. What? Life's made up of time. It's a beautiful thing when a husband and a wife give themselves wholly to one another all of their life. And you do it sacrificially. You say, who ought to set the tone there? The husband. See, if I was writing the Bible, I would have said, okay, women, you're to love your husband. Because in my view of thinking, a woman can love deeper than a man. At least to me, they show it greater. They're more of givers normally than men. So when I see a woman, I think, man, I think love. But God's word for the man is to love, and God's word for the wife is to submit. That's interesting. But as a husband, my greatest thing that I could do for my wife is to love her as Christ loved the church. Gentlemen, be as the Savior of your home. Love as our Savior loves you. Love unconditionally, permanently, and sacrificially. I wrote this down. I shared it with my wife the other night. It spoke to me. Write it down. Lust can't wait to get. Lust cannot wait to get. You hear me? Lust cannot wait to get. Love cannot wait to give. That's convicting. Gentlemen, what are you giving? When she marries you, she wants you. She wants your time. She wants your heart. She wants your love. She wants you to choose her. Love her as Christ loved the church. And I'm going to tell you something. There will be a revival in America if that takes place. There will be a revival of the Christian home if that takes place. Gentlemen, you know why sometimes we won't love? We're scared. We're afraid to put ourselves out there. What? Because I'll be honest, and I think, if I'm right, I don't want to make anybody, but Brother Chris, I think there was a little bit of similarity. You had to get Christina to like you, right? And you didn't care putting yourself out there for it, did you? When I heard it, I was going to, and I hope you don't mind, I think it's powerful. You know why a lot of times we just won't give? Because you know what? We're afraid of not getting back. Aren't you glad God loved us anyhow? I'm going to be honest with y'all, He didn't get much when He got me anyway. But I sure love Him because He first loved me. So I'll tell you what, that woman God gave me, she just don't love me very much. Are you loving her? You willing to put yourself out there? I'm going to share this and I got to close. Personally, I told my wife just before we came here, I had an opportunity to love her more in a time of my life, and I didn't do it. If I had to do over, I'd have showed her that love much quicker. Gentlemen, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Amen.